All right, so our next talk is UV-Vis Near IR Reflection Spectra of Synthetic Opaque Minerals. I noticed the title has changed slightly. By Reiner, Lucy, and Desch, and the talk will be given by Miriam.
Good morning. I'm going to present some UV-Vis Near IR spectra of synthetic opaque minerals. Originally, it was in the context of titanium mapping on the Moon and Mercury. But since the abstract deadline, the first messenger flyby results were published in Science, and they revealed the importance of opaque components on Mercury. And so the results are now much more interesting, looking at the nature of opaque components on Mercury with insights into a Mercury magma ocean. Not to worry, there'll be some lunar magma ocean discussion also. Mercury is unique in several ways that makes it important for comparative planetology. One of those is that it's got an extremely high density, which indicates 60 to 80% of the total mass is iron or iron metal. And this iron enrichment could be the result of chemical or thermal gradients in a solar nebula, or it could be stripping or removal of silicate by vaporization or impact. And the surface composition provides important tests on the environment, on the iron enrichment hypotheses. However, still little is known about the surface composition. From energy-dependent neutron measurements on the messenger neutron spectrometer, they limit iron to less than 6 weight percent. That's iron, not FeO. And it would be less if other neutron absorbers are present. Also, microwave measurements from the mid-90s limited FeO plus TiO2 on the surface of Mercury to less than 6 weight percent. There's no detectable ferrous iron in silicates. There's no 1 micron absorption feature detected at all, including with the messenger results looking at immature areas. So it's not that space weathering is obscuring an absorption. So they limit the FeO in silicates to less than 2 to 3 weight percent. Frequently, the surface composition of Mercury is compared to the lunar highlands because the spectra looks similar. However, Mercury is darker and bluer, and when I say bluer, I mean it has a less steep spectral slope. So MESSENGER and also some Mariner 10 data suggested the importance of opaque components. They are expressed on the surface in two different ways from two different lines of evidence. First is a global darkening agent suggested to explain the lower albedo of Mercury compared to the lunar highlands, and that's looking at immature Mercury crater ejecta. Denevi and Robinson said use Mariner 10 and Clementine data to show that Mercury is about 30% darker than the Moon in immature regions. They assume that if Mercury is like the lunar highlands, then you have to add an opaque component, and they favor an iron or titanium-bearing oxide because, again, they're looking in immature areas, so it's not a space weathering effect. And something like iron metal is too red to account for the blueness of Mercury compared to the Moon. The second opaque component is a low reflectance material, or LRM terrain, proposed by the MESSENGER Science team, and that's what's shown in the images on the right. They're associated with impact craters. You can see the dark area here and down here with the white arrows pointing to the crater ejecta. But they also have, in addition to the albedo, they do have a color difference. They've got a shallower spectral slope, so they're bluer. And that's shown in the bottom. This is a principal component analysis image. And you can see the blue streaks here corresponding to the lower albedo there. Also, they've shown that they have a minima at 400 nanometers from the hyperspectral instrument or at 600 nanometers from the multispectral instrument. So I'm looking at these opaque oxides that we had already measured with the context of the Moon now to see if we can use them to identify the opaque component on Mercury. Just to explain the samples a little bit, since ilmenite's the dominant opaque in the lunar maria, it's commonly cited as a plausible candidate for Mercury. However, the highlands may be a better analog for Mercury, and in fact, spinels are the most common opaque mineral in the highlands. So we look at iron and titanium members of the most common lunar solid solution series, ilmenite, uvospinel, armalcolite, and ferropseudobrookite. And you can see in the bottom here, they have a wide range of iron contents from 14 weight percent to more than 55 weight percent. And the titanium contents are all pretty high. Also, since we're looking at a darkening agent and opaque minerals get darker when you decrease their grain size, we looked at ilmenite size fractions relevant for planetary regolith materials to see how much grain size affects the darkening and the spectral changes. So these are the spectra of the opaque oxides. You can see that they're all pretty dark in the UV, vis, and near infrared. Even though they have a wide range of iron contents, their albedos are similar there. Also, in the to the right, I've offset them and zoomed in. These are the wavelength ranges that are of interest to MESSENGER. And you can see that they all have this negative slope going from the UV into the visible. In ilmenite, that's been attributed to an iron to titanium charge transfer that's occurring. Absorption peaks in opaques are absorption features in opaques are peaks rather than troughs that you might be used to. So it's likely that that negative slope is caused by the presence of both iron and titanium. Also, there are other features, other maxima that are different in the minerals, but unfortunately these are outside the wavelength range of the MESSENGER instruments, but they may be relevant in the future. We've also looked at ilmenite size fractions, and as expected, as you decrease the size fraction in the visible, you get darker, about 30% darker between the in-member size fractions. Also, curiously, you get an increase in reflectance at 1 micron as you get to smaller wavelengths. I just noticed that when Peter showed his data, he sees something similar in the, but smaller, of course, in the lunar data. So now I'm going to try and apply these measured spectra to identifying the opaque component. And the first thing I want to do is test how much ilmenite would be required to darken mercury or lunar highlands material to make it look as dark as mercury. So first of all, I started with the 30% darker estimate of Denevi and Robinson. And these lunar reflectance measurements here, 0.2 to 0.26, are the range that they published for 490 nanometers. And using a simple Hapke mixture modeling of their reflectances with the 10 to 20 micron ilmenite, you have to have around 30 weight% ilmenite present in a lunar highlands type composition to make it as dark as mercury. We consider that unlikely in a, with a lunar highlands type composition. Robinson et al. Used the MDIS instrument on MESSENGER to compare the darkening and found a range of 10 to 20%, but that was out at 750 nanometers. Unfortunately, their lunar reflectance measurements are at a different viewing geometry than our laboratory data, but you can still see that if we assume the same amount of darkening at 490 nanometers, you'll lower the amount of ilmenite required, but you're still, even at 7.8%, you're higher than the neutron and the microwave constraints on iron plus titanium, which ilmenite weight percent is equivalent to iron plus titanium in these synthetics. So we think that Mercury's crust is not lunar highlands modified, but rather a unique array of lithologies. And I'll come back to this point after I visit the low reflectance material. These are the spectra from MESSENGER of the low reflectance material. On the right, in the green, you can see the LRM from MDIS, and then on your left. On your right, you'll see in yellow from the hyperspectral masks instrument. And you can see these the troughs that we're talking about at 600 and 400 nanometers. And you can also see there's no evidence of an absorption near 1 micron in either of these. Now I'll shrink those down and compare them. You can see that they're consistent with an iron and titanium bearing oxide in the location of the trough. This is somewhat problematic, though, because if you're expecting any of these iron and titanium-bearing oxides, you would expect also to have some iron in your coexisting silicates if they crystallized in equilibrium, and yet there's no evidence for that around 1 micron. We propose two ways to deal with this. One is it's unclear how much iron and titanium are necessary to cause this feature. Ed Klutas showed with some of his UV measurements that Fe3+ can be detected in trace amounts in the UV, and that absorption features due to Fe3+ saturate at very low levels. If, by analogy, the same thing happens for Fe2+ or for titanium, then it could be that you have very low levels of iron and titanium and you can still get these features. But you still have the same problem of can you make the LRM dark enough? You can see over here, this is spectra is normalized to average mercury, so you're significantly darker than the average material, and it's unclear whether you can darken that much with more magnesium end members of these opaque oxides. The other possibility is specific to ilmenite and that peak that we saw at 1 micron. We wanted to test whether that could obscure or mask a 1 micron ferrous iron absorption band in silicates. So to do this, we did a very simple experiment where we looked at a lunar highland soil, and this is from the Lunar Soil Characterization Consortium's website. It's got 5 weight percent FeO, and we wanted to mix it with ilmenite that's 10 to 20 microns. The lunar highland soil is also in the 10 to 20 micron size fraction. And we found that with a wide range of ilmenite abundances, you could mask or obscure the 1 micron absorption band, 4 or 5 weight percent FeO. But we do acknowledge that these are very high abundances of ilmenite. Again, so it's not consistent with a lunar type flotation plagioclase crust. So now I'll move back to incorporate the global darkening agent with the LRM and what can we tell. And I think the first thing that we can say is that Mercury's crust is not consistent with a lunar type plagioclase flotation crust, which is consistent with a low FeO Mercurian magma ocean. And just to review really quickly, the lunar magma ocean is suggested to have been largely molten to crystallize Mg-rich silicates, olivine and pyroxene, and they will sink, shown by the arrows here. And as more and more of the magma ocean crystallizes, the cumulates become more and more iron-rich, as does the liquid. When plagioclase finally forms, it's less dense than the iron-rich residual liquid, and it's able to float and form the lunar highlands crust. And then finally, you have late-stage crystallization products that are titanium-rich and creep, which is potassium, rare earth elements, and phosphorus. And in the lunar case, that stack, it was probably gravitationally unstable because you get more dense as you reach the surface. It might have overturned and carried these products deep into the mantle. By comparison, on Mercury, the flotation of plagioclase depends critically on composition, on the Mg number of your residual liquid. And Brown and Elkins-Tanton showed in an LPSC abstract that a low FeO mantle, less than 2 to 3 weight percent, the plagioclase would be denser than the liquid and would sink rather than float, so you wouldn't get this flotation crust. In that case, your titanium-rich layer would be near the surface, and you might have a thin quench crust that's gardening by impacts with an incompatible rich layer that, instead of being buried deep below a plagioclase crust, is closer to the surface. This is consistent with the stratigraphy observed by MESSENGER. So in conclusion, we found that you require 8 to 38 weight percent ilmenite to darken the lunar highlands-like material to match Mercury. And that's inconsistent with the surface iron constraints and also with the idea of a plagioclase flotation crust. The low reflectance material, or LRM terrain, is consistent with an iron or titanium-bearing opaque oxide. Ilmenite may mask a 1 micron iron absorption feature on Mercury. And our spectra can be used to constrain opaque components, but in order to actually identify them, we really need spectra of more magnesium oxides. And then in the big picture, the existing data is compatible with a low iron magma ocean on Mercury that did not form a plagioclase flotation crust. Quantitative tests of this require more detailed modeling of a crystallization of a magma ocean at the appropriate densities and compositions for Mercury. Qualitatively, though, Mercury's crust should be more magnesian and less aluminous than the lunar highlands in this scenario, and elemental maps expected from MESSENGER gamma ray and neutron spectrometers could be used to test this hypothesis. Any questions?
Time for a couple questions. Brad?
The chromite end members are pretty red, and so they'd be inconsistent with the blue. But it could be that definitely as we look at the solid solutions, we'll want to include all the spinels and look at how chromium would affect when it's in trace amounts rather than the primary end member. Do you have any of those?
Anybody else? Actually, I have a question. So, and I'm not very good at this, but I thought that the tentative reflection spectra of the crust of Mars was not inconsistent with an anorthositic crust, and that was one of the reasons that
Mercury.
Sorry, yeah, with Mercury, and that's one of the reasons I thought perhaps it had an orthositic crust. If it's not an orthosite, what might it be, and is there any new data to suggest what the crust might be made out of instead?
Well, the reason that it's similar to an orthosite is because it has no spectral features. so that makes it kind of tough. So it's really, it's more that it's low iron, which is why it has no spectral features. So, for example, the Brown and Elkins-Tanton abstract predicts clinopyroxene, plagioclase, and oxides. So if you have those, with no iron, then you would also have no absorption features. Unfortunately, there's not enough data out there into what exactly the compositions of those minerals would be. But more modeling and then modeling the spectra of that could definitely be used to test it.
Okay, any other questions?